forget. I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the, what is this, Thursday? Thursday, December 6, 2007 edition of The American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. Got a great show coming up for you today. As a lot of you know, in the past, I've had a couple different people. Marilyn Barnwall. I've had Rosalind Peterson up talking about this chemtrails. And even yesterday I had Todd Metallo and Bob Barefoot up talking about some of the health products that are available on my website at www.theamericanawakening.org to kind of build people's immune system for, the chemtrail thing and the what they're spraying on our foods and just all the poisoning that's going on. Today, I have none other than the greatest of the great, I think, Cliff Carnicom, coming up. And he's going to go into the chemtrail debacle with us today. If you recall, last week I had read an article on the air by Carolyn Williams Pallett titled What Chemtrails Really Are. And I wanted to get into some of these things that she had depicted in this article with Cliff Carnicom today. Also, he has penned an article called Morgellons, Morphology Confirmed. And one of the things that I have not been able to do with either Marilyn Barnwall or Rosalind Peterson is get them to kind of, you know, explore a little bit further some of the symptoms of Morgellons and if or how it might relate to some of these chemicals that are being sprayed in the air on chemtrails. And I'm going to ask Cliff about that today. But before I go into that, Cliff's coming up after the break. I wanted to give a shout out to a great advertiser on RBN, somebody that I have, as many of you know, I have dealt with off the air, very pleasurable guy to deal with, very professional guy, and that that guy's John Onesti. John Onesti owns Onesti Investment Advisors. He is an investment advisor. He goes into different types of investments. And folks, if you have, he doesn't get paid unless you get paid. And if you have stocks, bonds, CDs, IRAs, 401ks, if you're questioning rollovers, or if you're questioning buying gold, or where you might put your money, or where you may not put your money, I have to tell you right now, this guy is indeed the guy to call. John Onesti is at 505-296-2453. His website is www.onestiadvisors.com, and that's www.onestiadvisors.com. Give the guy a buzz if you are thinking about making a purchase, making a transition, transferring money. He is the guy to talk to. I'll tell you, he's very, very knowledgeable, very laid back, very professional, and I can't say enough good things about John. I've talked to him many, many times off the air. I've had him on my show. As a matter of fact, I'm tossing around the idea of having him up next week just to talk about what's going on in the economy and what we have to look forward to after the Christmas holidays. So at any rate, give John a call. We'll be back after the break with my guest Cliff Carnicom, and we're going to talk some more about chemtrails. Folks, stick with us. Good show today. Be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Be right back.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference. Do you have a high electric bill? Do you use an electric company that just provides you expensive electricity? Not anymore. Visit www.energy-swap.com and take advantage of a new way to save on your monthly energy bill. Allow Energy Swap to switch your provider and receive the same reliable service and the best rewards program in the industry. Save up to 20% on your electric bill. Rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. No cost to switch. Flat rate plans. Reward program. What more could you ask for? A free gift. Try Energy Swap and receive a free getaway for two. Sign up today. 888-238-6397. That's 888-238-6397. Visit our website, www.energy-swap.com, and use the tool generator to calculate how much you can save on your monthly energy bill. 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Not just a hop, skip, a jump, and right next door to New Mexico, where Cliff Carnicom resides. And I'm looking on Cliff's website right now. And as I mentioned to you prior to, or in my first segment, that I've had a couple people up on the show, Rosalind Peterson and Marilyn Barnwell, talking about aerosol. Or not aerosol crimes, talking about chemtrails. And I've heard Cliff Carnicom on other shows, and I've had several emails requesting Cliff come up and talk about these chemtrails on my show. And I'll tell you what, there's not a week that goes by, folks, that I don't walk out in the back and look up into the Phoenix skies to see us being painted with these chemtrails. And I know it's going on all over the country, if not all over the world. And I'm not going to go into a lot more of this. I'm going to bring Clifford Carnicom up and let him tell us what's going on. Clifford, are you with us? Hello, Clifford Carnicom. Do we have Cliff? I thought we had Cliff. Hold on just a second. I don't hear Cliff. Hello? Okay, Cliff, are you with us? Okay, evidently we must have lost the connection, folks. But at any rate, we'll get him back up on the line here. I'm looking at his website right now, and I'm not sure. I'm going to find out how long Cliff Carnicom has been tracking this. But it looks like in his website, which is www.carnicom.com. It's got it copyrighted from 1999 until 2007, so I'm assuming that Okay. I'm assuming that he's been doing this since 1999. Cliff Carnicom, are you with me?
Yeah, Michael, we don't have a proper connection yet. Can you hear me, Noel?
Yes, I can hear you fine, sir.
Okay.
I couldn't hear you the first time.
I'm on a speakerphone, so it's kind of, I'd sure like to get on the headset here because I'm not sure we'll be able to carry on. Can you hold on 1 second, and I'll see if I can get on the speakerphone again or on the headset again?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yes, let's see if we can get a better connection for you, Clifford. Yes, and I would recommend to all of you folks to go into www.carnicom.com. And if you want to explore this further, it has a lot of different areas. He's got sampling and analysis of this, observations, responses, surveillance, news, links, signs of the times, other evidence, commentaries, message boards. And I've been here before. I've looked around on this, but I'll tell you what, it is so immense. The amount of information that Clifford Carnicom has been able to put forward on this website is just, well, you could spend a whole lot of time in here and never read all of the information he's got. And I'm sure that in a two-hour show that we have to do today, we're not going to be able to cover one smidgen of the research that Cliff Carnicom has done on chemtrails. And if you would, Carrie, let me know when we've got Cliff Carnicom back up, okay?
Carrie, can you hear me now?
Okay, I can hear you, Cliff. Are you?
Yeah, you have me now?
Yes, I've got you now, sir. Thank you so much. I'm looking at your website as we speak, Cliff, and I wanted to ask you, the first question I had for you is, just how long have you been researching these chemtrails, Cliff?
Michael, thanks again for the chance to be here. My work started at the very beginning of 1999. February 14th of 1999 was the day that I placed my first photograph up on the website. So it's, you know, we're getting close to 10 years now. We're working our way towards a decade on this pretty soon.
And I've been into your website two or three times, Cliff. I've read a lot of the stuff that you have up here, and I'll tell you what, you've got such an immense amount of information, it would take a whole long time to go in here and read it all. But there's a few things that I wanted to cover with you because I've had so many requests to have you up on the air, and I've had other guests up that have talked about, they've touched on the chemtrail issue. But I notice here as I look at your website, right boldface on the front page, Cliff, it talks about Morgellons and the morphology confirmed, and I have had other guests up on the show that don't seem to want to touch on that issue, and I'm wondering, is there a connection between Morgellons-like symptoms and some of these chemicals that are being sprayed in the air?
Well, increasingly, Michael, it's looking like there is a connection. This is a focus of my work. I've actually been fairly quiet for the last year after a documentary was produced in 2005, because that was a very good summary statement of the work at that point, and still is, and we can talk about access to that a little bit later. But so it's been fairly quiet for about a year, but this issue of Morgellons has actually always been looming in the background. If you trace back the early work, in the early stages, there were strong indications of biological aspects to these operations. Some of the very first samples, airborne fibers that were received and then sent to the EPA for identification, they refused to identify those fibers. The Environmental Protection Agency refused to identify some very unique and unusual airborne fibers at the submicron size. And that's been an issue that's been in the background here for several years. What's happening now is over the last 2 to 3 months, this is coming up again, based upon some access to some physical samples that I have. And increasingly, it's looking like there is a connection and relationship. I'm not going to say there is until we have the proper resources and tools to make the identities that are required. But, you know, if you trace this back, in the early years, you had an airborne sample, in terms of the Morgellons issue, you had an airborne sample that had very unusual properties. A human hair is on the order of 60 to 100 microns thick. Mm-hmm. These fibers that were showing up in airborne samples, and they literally would cover a field sometime. The spider issue just doesn't hold. It just doesn't work. In fact, I had a person send me a video that nobody's even seen that, but it was very early in the game before the issue was even gaining prominence. Over in Oklahoma, where you had the massive agricultural fields, and you could pretty much see it directly. This guy was out there with his video. It was a little choppy, but the extent of it was huge. Now, there were attempts to discredit and marginalize that phenomenon with the use of spiders. That just doesn't hold for a number of reasons. You know, I did a whole study on comparison to spider web years ago. That analysis simply remains the same. These are not spider webs that we're talking about. So the EPA is requested to identify these things in the interest of the public health, and they refuse to do so. Now, to find that out takes over a year and a half. Initially, they actually never even acknowledged receipt of the physical material. We sent them a letter certified. That's all on the website. They refused to even acknowledge the existence of the physical material. Over the course of many, many months, when there were certain parties questioning whether or not this action had actually taken place, there was a Freedom of Information Act filed. And after a year and a half, the EPA returned the fibers and stated that it was not their policy to identify any material that they basically did not ask for themselves. So, you know, that was the first sign that there was a problem, in the sense that something obviously should be done, is not being done. And it represents a potential health hazard, an issue, because, you know, asbestos fibers are on the order of a couple microns thick. We all know the attention and effort that's been given towards asbestos remediation over the years. If you had a submicron, meaning a fractional micron fiber, showing up in the atmosphere repeatedly. This is not an isolated case. I don't really do anything unless I can corroborate it over time. But you repeatedly have the existence of this material. And by the way, this is only one of several types of components that that seem to be encased in this operation. But it's the one that we're speaking of today and now. So they do not identify it, and the issue stays like this for several years. About 1 year ago now, I'm looking at this paper, and it was in August. In August, I had an individual who reported to me that they had been to several doctors, that they had very unusual physical symptoms taking place, sores on their skin that would not heal, eventually culminating in a fibrous form that would actually come out of the skin that did not have any real similarity to a hair. Just didn't make any sense that it was a hair. This person went to the doctors. The person would willingly provide samples, talked in great detail. There was no information that would come back to this person. The samples were simply not acted upon, at least not in that person's interest. The person was identified as delusional. Again, this is not an exception. This has actually became the norm, that you had many, many people that would go to the doctor. They would be labeled as delusional. There was no attention or addressing of the physical evidence that they were providing to the doctors. And at that point, this went on for about 3 years. There had also been the emergence of a nonprofit supposed research group on this that supposedly was acting in people's interest. After about 3 years of this, I did a rather close study to find out, has anybody even looked at this stuff? Is anybody even looking at this material, whether it's the airborne fibers, or in this case now the fibers coming out of the individual skin, have they just looked at it and reported on what it looks like? And I found, even after, you know, 3 years and numerous reports on the existence of this ailment, that there were no suitable photographs at all available on public sources. There simply was nothing. You had very low power images, but they were not adequate to make any distinctions as to whether or not you might possibly be working with hair or something like that, or something common or typical fibers. So that's when I got involved again. It was a little bit roughly over a year ago. A lady named Jan Smith was very helpful in contributing to this research. And at that point was the first time that I documented the structure and nature of these fibers coming out of the skin at what I would call a suitable magnification. I'm very limited in my resources, but I did the best I could with my equipment. I got up to a pretty respectable work with the microscope. We're up to now on the order of 2,000 to 5,000 power, where a normal microscope, the most you can get is, you know, you get 1,000 or 2,000, you're doing pretty darn good. So when you start getting up to 3,000 to 5,000, 6,000, it really does change things a lot. It's necessary to have that when you start talking about looking at things of the size we're speaking of.
Okay, Cliff, let me stop you. We got to take a break here, 3-minute break to pay the bills. We'll be back in three with my guest, Cliff Carnicom. We'll talk further about this, these symptoms, Morgellon-like symptoms. Stick with us. It's a great show today, folks. Be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. A little technical glitch there. Short segment coming up to the bottom of the hour. And, Cliff, you were talking about putting these under a microscope and magnifying these. These particles, these fibrous particles, I have seen clips. I have had people call into me. I've watched video clips of these particles that if you hold a match up to them, it's almost like they have a brain. Do you know anything about that?
Well, that's probably a more advanced part of the discussion that would take place. I'm not sure that we have the adequate information on that yet, but in terms of the nature or behavior of this material we're speaking of, it increasingly is reported that it appears to exhibit a form of intelligence of some kind. Now, that is often characterized with the word hive intelligence. Meaning that it's acting in some type of coordinated fashion in a systematic way within the body. So, you know, that the reports are out there. I work with what I can observe and what resources are available to me and try to establish a path, basically, of research to take place. That's obviously one that is out there. There are some more preliminary and fundamental things that need to be taken care of, I think, before we get to that stage, which involve straightforward biology. There's been an outstanding need now for several years for some very fundamental, basic, and important biological studies to take place in microbiology to find out what the heck it is we're even dealing with. You have to identify something or at least get it into the unidentified category and call it something new if need be. But we have to get the thing categorized in some way. And where this discussion is going today, Michael, that we're leading on a topic that we're picking, is that increasingly it is looking like there is a linkage. Certainly there is a linkage of investigation at the very least, but a linkage between the airborne samples, and we're speaking today specifically of the filaments or fibrous type. There's other classes of materials, particularly metallic salts, we could talk about, but today we're picking this health issue. But increasingly, it looks like there is linkage between the original airborne fibers that were reported, what's happening in people's skin, as well as what's happening in their blood. Now, that's actually somewhat of a loaded statement because it's even beyond what I've been able to post so far because I really can't keep up exactly with all the work that needs to be done. But to back up and follow that chain through a little bit so that people can see why I think that there is an adequate basis for investigation, if you look at the structure of the sample of that individual that claimed to have this condition and the report that I filed on this, and that paper, when people can get to the net, that paper is titled Mergellin's First Observations. That was the title, First Observations, and it was done in August of last year. Take a look at the sequence and development of these photographs, and you will see really most extraordinary structure and behavior that obvious, not behavior, but obviously important structure that needs to be identified. And that is, someone presents you, say, with a physical sample, a fiber, and you say, oh, well, that looks like a hair a little bit. So then you go further and you start putting this, but it doesn't act like a hair. There's tremendous amount of pain associated with this condition for people, tremendous amount of pain and suffering that these people have gone through. You start putting this under a microscope and gradually increase the power, and you're going to see some very interesting and unusual things when the power gets adequate enough. When you bring it up to about 700 times, something like that, you really don't have much to go on. You can see that it's not looking like a hair. In fact, I have placed a hair on there for control purposes so people can look at it. You know, a hair will be quite smooth, quite uniform structure in general. At 700 power, you will start to see some variations in the size, the uniformity of this fiber. It's becoming uneven. It's looking twisted a little bit. You start to see some small protrusions off the side of the fiber. But you still don't have nearly enough detail to really have any idea what's going on. If you then boost this up to around 1500, and I'm looking at these now, you now start to see some internal structure. All I can say is it's getting more interesting the more that you can look at this. It's obviously not a hair at this point. It doesn't even come close. You have internal structures of some type, a lot more variation, a lot more variation in the size, that twisting feature that I was talking about where it folds on itself. None of these are characteristic of hairs. So at this point, you've lost that claim that you're dealing with any type of normal or typical fiber if it's coming out of the skin in a growing fashion. When you get this up to, eventually I was able to push this up to 5,000. At this point, it's sort of a whole new ball game. And the important discovery at that point, at roughly 5,000, is that this fiber or filament that on the surface or to the eye or even at fairly low magnification looks like maybe a single fiber, it's not a single fiber at all. It is composed of numerous subfibers, individual fibers within that fiber, almost at an infinite level, but the subfibers end up being at the submicron level. That becomes important because, remember, the original fibers and the airborne samples are also of that same exact size and structure. And
okay, Cliff, let me stop you. We got to take a break, and then we got a long segment coming up. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, Cliff Carnicom. We're going to get back to this 5,000 times magnification in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, Cliff Carnicom. And we're discussing magnification of these fibrous materials found in the chemtrails. Go ahead and continue, Cliff. You had magnified this 5,000 times, and you're finding that there's more than what you had bargained for here. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely the case. There are three things that are learned at this stage with adequate magnification. The first is, remember, this is a sample that's coming from an individual. This is a biological sample from a person, not airborne at this point. Three things you learn. First is there is a subfilament structure. What you're seeing as a primary filament is not really what's happening at all in total. That is an encasement of some type that is holding a submicron structure, fiber structure. Size does matter on these things. It's very important because you test your limits of ability to see things. I've already pushed it as much as I can with my equipment. You obviously, to do this properly, you need high-quality equipment. You need electron microscopes at the very least to be doing this kind of work. It's not the kind of thing people other than those with agency resources or good money behind them will have this kind of resource. So I can simply point the way here, but there's obviously something that needed to be identified here. So you have this whole subfilament structure, the size of which, we can only say it's curious at this point, the size of which matches those original airborne fibers. There is no connection at this stage of the research that can be made between the structure of this, internal structure of this biological sample and the airborne sample, other than it's curious they have the same size, and that kind of size is very unusual. It doesn't really exist in nature. I mean, the smallest filament I have been able to identify would be that of asbestos right now, in terms of the natural world. There may be exceptions to that. The second thing you learn is there is some type of internal structure. Structure is important because whatever there is there is needs to be identified, especially when you're talking about biology. Structures have function. And in this case, you'll see a circular or a spherical structure measuring roughly about a micron in size. This is it's just getting down there. Bacteria are on the order of 1 to 10 microns. Viruses are on the order of a fraction of a micron. So you're in that threshold of just able to be detected, certainly, with any kind of visible light microscopy, as well as getting into a world that most of us don't have any contact with at all. But within that fiber, there is a repeating structure, roughly spherical, about a micron or submicron in size. My guess is right now anywhere from a half micron to a micron in size. And it repeats through there. So it's not an isolated case. Again, at this stage, I have no idea what these structures are. I'm simply saying this is what I see, folks. Time to identify. You're talking about unidentified biological processes taking place that has the potential of being a public health hazard if any kind of condition is not identified. And the obvious sensible thing to do is to identify it. The last thing you learn from this work is that there is what I would call a budding structure. It appears to be involved with the growth or regeneration or extension of this fiber. And on the side of the fiber, again, not an isolated case. I have several of them that I've presented there. On the side of them, you will see what I would call it's a budding structure. It's something which is popping out of the side of the fiber, which contains what? It contains two things. It contains more micron to submicron fibers. It's just bursting basically inside, so packed you can't even tell. There's really, we don't know what the limit of this is. I'm only limited by my equipment, what I can see. But the thing, this bud is packed with more fibers, also packed with more of these circular micron to submicron structures. So this budding structure contains the primary components that dominate the main fiber, and yet they appear to be some type of growth, extension, or regeneration network. So obviously that's important in the sense of it may be involved with how this this condition grows or extends itself through the body. And the obvious thing is to get this identified what it is. I have to say that it is extremely disappointing to me that I put this work up over a year ago, and this is also not unusual, with a continual open appeal for proper identification, proper resources, and do the job that needs to be done. That was put up there over a year ago. It has never been done to my knowledge. Now, there's a few people, particularly a Dr. Sandinger and Mike Castle, that are doing some good work with respect to chemistry. Actually, we're getting some feedback on chemical composition of some of these samples. But the simple act of observation, study, and analysis, identification of form, structure, and purpose has not been done. And it's clear that it should have been done a year ago when this was put up. It's not okay to just have this stuff sit there when you're talking about potential public health issues, and even if it's not public, just in the interest of humanity. Why the heck wouldn't you identify something if it presented a health hazard? So the CDC has done nothing on this. What is their word? They're going to study it. The CDC was one of the great parties out there calling people delusional on this. They put it on their website that this was delusional. They got enough static from that they finally pulled it off, calling it delusional, and now they'll say they'll do a study on it. They're tying this stuff up for years with no action on it whatsoever, when it's clear what needs to be done. And there is some information, at least, that is available to us. So that's the case as of about a year ago.
Mm-hmm. I did want to mention that you've penned a very brilliant article called Morgellons Morphology Confirmed, which I'm going to post up on my website at www.theamericanawakening.org. But, you know, as I had mentioned before, Cliff, I've had people that have called into my show and have told me that they have indeed Morgellons-like symptoms growing out of their skin, growing out of their eyelids and so forth. That, you know, it concerns me deeply because these chemtrails are being sprayed over the Phoenix area at least 2, 3, sometimes 4 times a week. And I, you know, there's not a week that goes by that I don't walk out there and see this happening. And I know, you know, there's another article that I had read on my show last week called What Chemtrails Really Are by Carolyn Williams Pallett. And in this article, she's asking the question, is it possible that someone are very afraid of coming famines and riots due to the ongoing man-induced failure of the ecological system, and they are saturating the earth with chemtrails for large-scale gas plasma mind control. Is there any validity to a statement like that?
Well, that's another whole topic. You know, today we're speaking on the biological. This is what we'll have some time for, and hopefully okay. We can follow. But you're right, Michael, in the sense that this topic we're speaking of is one of 7 aspects. You know, you mentioned how some people are reluctant to extend beyond a certain topic.
Yes.
In my work, there are 7 aspects so far to this work, all of which is, supportive of the other in terms of the evidence. These are not isolated studies. Before we finish today, I think it might be helpful to at least list the 7. But another one of the 7, we're speaking of the biological, that's one. Another will be the whole electromagnetic aspect. These are mammoth aspects of this operation, it appears, as supported by the data. It is not adequate to try to simplify this subject that I can see. It's not simple. It is extremely complex. Comprehensive, and the electromagnetic one is another one that we can spend another 2 hours on very easily another day. So the idea of a altered electromagnetic environment is extremely real and it forms a major component of my research, probably over 3 years when that hypothesis was first put forward, that it looks like we're dealing with an electromagnetic alteration of the atmosphere to fulfill the purposes to which a plasma is an electrified gas. So the simplest way to think of that is a neon light tube is a plasma inside of it. But to propagate, useful for propagation of electromagnetic energy. So, you know, I'm probably going to have to save that for another topic, but is there any merit to that? Absolutely there is. It's a major component of my work. To follow this one through, if we can, today to where I can present at least a case where people might want to seriously consider the potential linkage between original airborne samples, fiber samples out of the skin, and then eventually blood, which has its own huge ramifications. If I can, I'll follow the sequence through by calling attention to the article that you just mentioned. Now, this one is called Morgellons Morphology Confirmed. This is done less than a month ago. So you have a year period. Wait, you know, I have this work I can do because I have somebody that gives me a sample. I have nothing else to work with at that point. It sits for a year. A month ago, I have an individual come to me saying, I have this. I've been dealing with it for years. So for the second time, I now encounter real physical evidence from a person that claims to have these conditions. Now, in this case, it's a lot more direct because the first one was from a remote part of the country, this person I had access to. In this case, that is what the paper is about. I would say it's a rather clear documentation of the progression of the condition, showing, particularly in terms of microphotographs again, starting out with looking at the effect upon the skin, the outward appearance of the skin, following it through a stepped layer of magnification again to see what we're looking at. And it's sort of sad to see this, that you would have a person that would suffer from this and you have a case where it either is refused to be acknowledged or it will not be studied properly or will actually be hindered in terms of our actual understanding of what's going on. But that appears to be the case. Now, the upshot of this paper is that 1 year later, you now have a second sample with much better access. What do we find? we find that the structure of this fibrous form is exactly a match with what happened a year ago. In other words, it's the first time that I have any confirmation that this appears to be characteristic of it. It's not something I can just report for the first time. It appears to be characteristic of at least one filament type that's showing up in the body. And if you follow this through, you find an exact match of every single thing that I just talked about. You have the subfilament structure. It's not really any single fiber. It is a whole network of subfibers down at the submicron level. It is composed of these entities or structures, spherical or circular, at the submicron level, and it has the budding structure again. You can see the budding structure again, showing the same thing, internal fibers and the submicron structure. So what do you have? You have confirmation that, yes, it looks like this is what this particular fiber is a form. You have two completely different people, two completely different parts of the country over a year interval. So that's the second stage. Now, the third stage of this, there'll be two more if you have time, Michael. I have two more to discuss. The third stage would be, we can call it somewhat accidental, but, you know, a lot of things happen like that, particularly in the world of investigation. Some things just happen by chance. A lot of the greatest discoveries in the world were, they're just fluke and chance. And what happened was that I was looking at this fiber, the second fiber, and I subjected it to a laser light. Another question may be why I did that, but I did. I decided to subject it to a laser light. And the laser light had some interesting properties, and that is that it revealed internal structure more readily than the visible than with regular visible light. It made small structures show up very easily. It also made variations or irregularities in any sample pop up very easy. So it's much easier to detect abnormalities or irregularities within a sample. I noticed that within the fiber. And so there was a time when I wanted to see how that would react to something else, so I subjected a blood sample to that. Well, there were some obvious irregularities that appeared to be showing up in this blood, and that caught me a little bit by surprise because I'd never seen them before, but the laser light appeared to be very helpful in accentuating these. Now, they are visible with regular light once you become used to them and what to look for, but the laser was instrumental in helping to accentuate or emphasize these. And so you start seeing something irregular in this blood sample. At this point, I just let it sit. It's one sample. I can't do any more with it. I don't know what it is yet. But then the next thing for me to do was to say, well, is this a fluke? Is this a one-time thing? Or is it possibly happening in other blood samples as well? So my next project was to start extending this blood sampling to about five people is what I did. And all of them were subjected to the same type of testing, the same type of lighting, and that's what this next paper is about. It's called Blood Testing, Lasers, Morgellons, and Fungus, with a big question mark after the word fungus. And what is learned from this work is that there is a repeating. It appears to be abnormal, the best I can tell. Again, every work I do, it's open. I say, help me, folks. Tell me what we have. I've done that from day one. That's what's going on here. If it's something obvious, it's going to be identified, I will put it up there as such. I don't have that information yet. I'm not a doctor by any means. I have some good background in the sciences, some of it in the biological side, but I'm not claiming an expertise that I don't have. I'm saying, this looks unusual to me. What have we got? I've looked at the common maladies in the blood that I can find. I cannot find a match to this at this point. So you have disturbed areas of the blood. You have cellular structure that's been damaged. You have what darkened areas of the blood. You know, the surface, the superficial response to it, without really having any kind of background, is the question of a fungus does come to mind. It just does. It comes to mind also through a credentialed chemist that looked at these photographs, and he's not a biologist. He's trying to dig into some resources there. But that was his take on it. And the more I look at this, the more I have to at least lead us in that direction of consideration of a fungus. But the finding is that this appears to not be unique to this one sample. And all five people tested showed this same type of condition in the blood. And you have darkened areas, you have damaged cellular structure, and then especially curious, is you have a couple of photographs that start to show this fibrous net in there, like a tangled mass, basically, of fibers showing up in the blood. Now, the magnification is fairly low, but that's the indication that you get at this stage. That becomes of greater concern because it points to me a little bit stronger in the sense of a fungal form infection. It also raises some questions of whether or not there might be any connection between the condition of the blood and the filaments that are appearing on a person's skin that has this condition, that type of thing. But the disturbing thing here is that it's showing up in all the samples, but the individual with the Morgellons condition is, let's say, much more severe or much more accentuated than the other individuals. So at that point, you see that, well, there may be a relationship between the presence of this form in the blood and whether or not it's manifesting in any type of illness or condition on the body known as Morgellons. This is where that research would lead. There is now there's two more stages, actually. I said three, huh? There's two more. Okay, the next stage of this is, what if you were to have a better look at this structure in the blood at higher magnification? What if you could get into what you said was a fibrous network and see that better? I've done that work one time.
Okay, let me stop you. I think we got to go to a break. Yes. I think I'm hearing the music here, Cliff. We'll continue with this when we get back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I think I can barely hear the music. We'll be back in 3 minutes, folks.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Do you have a high electric bill? Do you use an electric company that just provides you expensive electricity? Not anymore. Visit www.energy-swap.com and take advantage of a new way to save on your monthly energy bill. Allow Energy Swap to switch your provider and receive the same reliable service and the best rewards program in the industry. Save up to 20% on your electric bill. Rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. No cost to switch. Flat rate plans. Reward program. What more could you ask for? A free gift. Try Energy Swap and receive a free getaway for two. Sign up today. 888-238-6397. That's 888-238-6397. Visit our website, www.energy-swap.com, and use the tool generator to calculate how much you can save on your monthly energy bill. 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Short segment coming up to the top of the hour. My guest, Cliff Carnicom. And, folks, I'll tell you, depending on how much more information Cliff has for us, I may open up the phone lines for calls. It just depends on how it goes here. But Cliff's got a lot of valuable information to give us, and I want to make sure he covers it all. So, Cliff, go ahead and continue, if you would.
Michael, thanks a lot. I will try to, you know, provide a balance there for you and try to get through this main point we're trying to make, and then maybe we can accomplish both. But, you know, the question now that arises, we were talking about that whatever this structure or form in the blood that appears to be unusual or anomalous to me, it doesn't look healthy. I will say this. I have a rather emphatic statement that I have found that states that bacterial or fungal infections in the blood are not a good thing. They are not a normal state of health. Okay. So if we get to the point where that topic becomes of issue here, then we may have a health issue that we're going to be dealing with whether we like it or not. But the question is, this, what appears to be some sort of, it's sort of a mangled mass. It's a little hard to tell. That's at 750. But it looks like a twisted set of fibers to me. So what happens if you get this under higher magnification? Now, I caution what we're speaking of now from here on, actually. Anything you don't see posted, we only have my voice right now, and we do not have any further documentation on until I post something, if I can. There's two more stages to this, and they're both very recent. I have not posted them yet. When you look at this anomalous structure at higher magnification, within the subject that has the Morgellons condition, remember I've looked at five people, I've actually looked at about 10 now, but only one of them with a very obvious manifestation of this condition, and I'm trying to see whether or not there's something more pronounced with that individual with the others. There is already in terms of the frequency and extent of this anomalous form within the blood. But now the question is, what within that blood, what does this internal mangled mass look like? And what has happened is I've only done it one time. But within that sample, there were two to three portions of it I were able to identify. So a dark section within the blood looks sort of like a mass of fibers, but you can't really tell well. I got it at adequate magnification. The important finding at this point is that the structure of that fibrous mass, at least what appeared to be fibrous, is exactly identical to that within the skin fiber. Okay, you know how we talked about the submicron, you know, fiber filament structure, and then those circular entities.
Right. Yes.
Okay. The same thing is happening within this sample of the blood when I get inside of that anomaly. And that's rather astounding at that level. Again, it's only one time, and that's where my work will be, is if I get a chance again, I'm going to try to repeat it, and that's usually when I start posting it, is after I've seen it a few times. Mm-hmm. But my first time through, it's saying that it looks like that there may be a direct parallel between the morphology and structure of these anomalous forms in the blood and the manifestations in a most extraordinary fibrous disease that nobody seems to want to pull. So that's an important connection which is in the process of being questioned at this point.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to come up to the top of the hour break. We've got a 2-minute break this time, Cliff, then a short segment, and then we've got another long segment to chat more about it here. But all five of these subjects, as you've tested, have ingested this somehow in the atmosphere from chemtrails, is that right?
No, nobody knows that yet.
Nobody knows, yeah, okay.
Nobody knows that yet.
We'll be back in 2 minutes. We'll discuss this further. Folks, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Call your friends and neighbors, folks. This is very important because, you know, this stuff is popping up all over the place. And it's interesting that the EPA says it's not their policy to investigate it. Well, my question is, whose policy is it? Be right back. Stick with us, folks. We've got more.